All righty, guys. Let me get the microphone here. It is Monday night, and tonight we're all going to talk about virtual wholesaling. I get a million questions about this subject, and I want to go into it in rather grave detail. And if you have a virtual operation or you're thinking about setting up one, this is the perfect stream for you. So those of you who don't know me, my name is Rick Ginn. I am the Rick in Flip with Rick. You guys are familiar with my son, Zach Ginn. He got started in this business just like I did. He did it while I was in high school. I waited till I was in a corporate job in my mid-30s, and I'm here to share with you wholesaling. So wholesaling is a technique that allowed me to get out of a rat race, become completely financially free, and honestly, I can do whatever I want when I want. It is a very freeing feeling. It comes at a cost. You actually have to put in work. But if you follow exactly what we teach at freewholesaling.com, let me put this up here, okay? Those of you who are looking to, hey, I've never heard of this before, what's going on? Go over to freewholesaling.com. It is a 100% all free wholesaling course, teach you from start to finish how to get your first deal and up to your first $100,000, but it doesn't stop there. I put my 20 years experience on the line. I put Zach's 5 years experience on the line. And we actually run a 7-figure wholesaling operation. We do it right here in South Florida. And I've been doing this 20 years and I'm like crazy. I actually love this business. So I want to share it with you. So here's how we work. I've expanded to do Monday nights because Thursday and Friday get so full and we do one-on-ones. So in the comment section, I want you to use the comments to post where you guys are from, what market you're in. And these are great people to network. Make sure you vet everyone if you don't know them. I can't speak for everybody personally. I can speak for quite a few people I've done business with, but use the comment section to share information. If you have a question, put it in the comment section. Now, let me put on the invite here. Okay. And I will put in how to join the one-on-ones live. You just click that link. The idea is if you want to work on some deals together, if you want to talk about your virtual wholesaling operation, honestly, anything you have to do with wholesaling, I am wide open for it. So we do this so we can share as much content and information for you. Guys, I don't have a course. I don't have anything to sell you. So when you do the one-on-one lives, I'm going to give it to you all. I don't hold anything back like most gurus do. Let's face it. If you got to sell something, you got to keep it behind a brick wall. And the only way to get through the brick wall is Pam. I don't do that. I make plenty of money wholesaling. I just think coaching wholesaling as a whole is, well, I'm not going to say any more on it. So that's it. So I'm going to go through probably about 20, 30 minutes and go through virtual wholesaling. And if you've never done virtual wholesaling or you're considering doing it, this is a great live to be on. I'll share on that. So do me a favor, guys. Make sure you put your comments and your questions in there. I'll answer them as much as I can. And my God, make sure you are subscribed to the Rick Ginn channel. My son has a channel too, Zach Ginn, and we both collaborate on the Flip with Rick channel. So make sure you subscribe to all of them. And for God's sake, give me some love on this. I do this for free. I do this as a service. I do this to create a legacy. And I really want to pull back the veils on wholesaling and show you how to do it from a successful wholesaler's operation. And guys, this is who I am. This is how I operate. And I don't have some like crazy sales pitch to give you. So without further ado, if you guys are brand new here, go to freewholesaling.com. We'll show you how to get started with everything. It's 100% free. Just jump in there. And that is the best place to go. So let me check my comments before I get started. What's up, Corey? What's up, Tom? What's up, Paul? Shay? Oh my gosh, there's a lot of you on here. That's awesome. Denzel, Justin, Jim, Steven. Boy, you guys are early to the party. I love it. Olivia, as always. And so let's get into it. So let me get started here. Let me find my notes here. So we're talking everything about virtual wholesaling. And just so you know what the definition of virtual wholesaling is, when you do a market in relation to wholesaling outside of your physical local market. And I would say anything outside of 75 to 100 miles, because I call those kind of outskirts areas. So if I wanted to say go to California, Nebraska, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, and I'm in Florida, that would open me up to a virtual wholesaling market. So let me go through the reason why people like to do virtual wholesaling, because sometimes you guys are in markets that are just so established, so mature, and so thick with investors that a lot of the average price points are starting at $1 million plus. And if you go to places like San Francisco, LA, New York, Miami, these are all places that honestly, the price points are just so in left field. Wholesaling, to be honest with you, it's not prolific there. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but the reality of you as a newbie getting started in that market is very, very challenging. And that's why you want to consider virtual wholesaling. I won't spill my coffee tonight, I promise. Although it's like borderline when drinking coffee this late. So that is the difference between virtual and local wholesaling. So local is anything 75 to 100 miles within your range there. And then virtual is basically, you're definitely going outside your state lines. Let's talk a little bit about the advantages and disadvantages of doing these types. Okay, before I get into it. Local wholesaling is always going to be easier as long as you're not in one of these crazily highly established metro markets. As I said, San Fran, Manhattan, Miami, LA, stuff like that. It's just, they're so established and the average price points are well north of $1 million. Wholesaling is not, it doesn't work as well in those. And as a beginner, you almost set yourself up for failure. There's people who have done it, but I'm here to give you an uphill battle. I'm going to give you the truth on it. There's so many people who sell you a program so you can virtually wholesale anywhere. I'm telling you, those markets I just told you about, you will have massive challenges because most of them, you're going to have the money to close on it. And if you don't have $1 million to $2 million sitting access to that kind of cash, you probably got no shot at wholesaling those markets. So that's why I want you to consider doing virtual market. The local is better because you know the market. As long as you're not in one of those super hyped up markets, because you know what real estate goes for, you know what are the good areas, you know what the bad areas. It really, honestly, all real estate is local. The problem is when you get in those super elevated price points, wholesaling is a very, very minute part of the market. And that's why people look at virtual. So let's talk about virtual. Well, Rick, what are the pros and cons of virtual? Well, the pros are easy. Okay. You can go to any market you pick because you don't have to live there. You're not sending your kids to school there. You just pick a market and hopefully you're picking a market because you're very familiar with the landscape in the area. You know the layout of the real estate. And maybe you had friends, families, you grew up there, maybe you went to college there, something. And if you do that, then virtual's easier. Virtual can be challenging when you just hop into a market because the first question is like, Rick, which market do I pick? And honestly, if you go over to freewholesaling.com, I teach you all how to do it. The easiest way to do is reverse engineer. Just find other wholesalers that are having success in a market, get on their cash buyers list, find the deals that they're getting in the zip codes, and start homing in on your price points in the zip codes. I like to do it by zip codes. When you see five or six properties being flipped in a current zip code by active investors, that's a great place to start at. And that's what you want to understand. So it's like, I don't understand like the Northeast with like freezing pipes and stuff. So I don't do those markets. Actually, I'm scared to death of freezing pipes. You guys have scared the heck out of me. But anything like from the Tennessee Valley down and stuff, I love in the virtual markets because I'm somewhat familiar with it. The downsides of virtual marketing is you are not local. And when you're not local, when you have a problem, it's a challenge to visit the property. It also takes on average 90 days to get your price points dialed in because so many of you guys go to a virtual market, you get it under contract, you go, my God, it's a smoking deal, Rick. And unfortunately, sometimes I have to tell you it's not. The reason is because you're trying to ration it to your local market. You can't do that in virtual. And I've done that. I've been guilty of it. And you're like, listen, a house for $30,000, how can I go wrong? You can go wrong because that could be the highest priced house in that market. So That being said, understanding the pros and cons in the perfect world, you always keep active in your local market, and then you activate a virtual market. Understand you got to give it 3 months typically to be profitable. And the beauty of the virtual market is if it's not working out, you can always move to another market. You're never completely stuck. The downside is it takes you a while to get familiar with that market. So if you know that going into it, then it can be a lot of fun. So many people go into virtual market and they quit in the first 30 days. That's the last thing you want to do. You have to have a commitment because it takes time to understand the types of property you're buying, your marketing method that's going to work. Remember, every market is different. And it takes time to dial in the prices to find out what really is a great wholesaling deal. So for that reason, you want to get going on that. So we've already talked, I just let the cat out of the bag on how to find the best virtual market. It's just reverse wholesaling. Find wholesalers that are having success, the ones that like to brag, the ones that keep their ego and everything, the ones that don't vet their cash buyers list, which is 90% of wholesalers, and just take advantage. If it doesn't cost you a dime, and they've already done all the groundwork, they've spent all the marketing dollars. Guys, I'm just telling you, if it's put out there on the internet, it's for your use. If there's nothing illegal with it, go ahead and use it. I don't do this method anymore, so people can't duplicate what I do, but they still do it anyways because everybody knows where I'm at. So you're all welcome to come to my market. It doesn't matter to me. I've been here 20 years. I ain't going anywhere. So now that we know where the best virtual marketing is, the next thing we need to do is talk about the ARV, okay? So if you don't know what ARV stands for, it's the after repaired value. That's a house that's in prestige, in perfect shape. And you got to figure out what that price point is because that is the optimal point a property should always sell. It should get its highest value there. And for that point, most rehabbers want to know what that number is so they know what their total potential and profit is. So ideally in a virtual market, you want to stay below $300,000 average price point, and the city population has got to be 40,000 plus. Why? Because if you don't have enough of a population, it's much more challenging to sell these properties. And guys, keep in mind, you are not local in a virtual market. So I'm trying to stack the decks against you. I'd like to see 50,000 plus, but we find anything 40,000 or below, it's always a challenge to sell a property in a virtual market, especially when you don't live there. So 300,000 or below, and what you need to do is find out what the average price point in your market is, and you want to stay at that or below. 300,000 is the max, because once you go over 300,000, you can get in over your head on a virtual market. Remember, if you're just starting this out, I want you to contract the properties that have the highest probability of selling quick. That's why I give you these two rules on that, okay? So our next one is, hey, Rick, how do I attack the marketing for these? And guys, it's not going to be a whole lot different on how I teach on doing your local market, because you need to get in there and find the most motivated people. So once you find your target zone, the zip code, you did your reverse wholesaling to find out what market you're going to attack, what you want to do is go after government lists. Why? Because number one, they're free. And number two, they are usually going to point you to the highest motivation. Now, the challenge with this, getting these lists in a virtual market, the down part is you can't drive your car and go to like these local government offices and get these lists. So you're going to have to work by email and phone. Occasionally you have to recruit someone locally. You guys know I'm always going to preach to overcome resistance. You got to smash it up with persistence. You will get a lot of no's on these, but if you can get these lists, it's going to point you where motivated sellers are. Remember, wherever there's smoke, there's typically going to be fire. Government lists are dynamite. They work very well. They've never changed. We're not going to go anywhere, guys. These are going to be probates, eviction lists, divorce, pre-foreclosures. The list goes on and on and on. It's endless, okay? If you want to learn more about it, go to freewholesaling.com. I'll show you how to do the whole thing. So, okay? The next one is Zillow FSBOs, self-explanatory, for sale by owner. Getting that list, it's a great list to pull off, especially if you're brand new and you don't want to spend a dime. It is exhausting. It is taxing. But I'm telling you, tons and tons of people get deals from it. And if I was starting out today, I would work it. And even if you don't get a deal out of it, you are going to sharpen your skills as a wholesaler. I want you to make sure you use our techniques in freewholesaling.com and apply it when you do those cold calls, and you want to make it work. The other way is you can partner up with other wholesalers. They don't even have to be wholesalers. People just want to get into real estate investing. Remember, the person that finds the leads should be very handsomely rewarded, because that's the hardest part of this business. So if you get a JV, don't put the screws to them, cut them in. If they're doing nothing other than providing you lead, get them involved, get them excited, because not only can you get them paid on that lead and you can give them a marketing fee, but you want them to bring you more leads. Okay, guys, I do this all the time in my local market, and you guys know I do it all over the country. Some deals are better than others, but once you get them in, it is a great way to get leads, because once you learn the skills at freewholesaling.com, you have the ability to take down any type of deal in wholesaling. So those are easy ways to find free motivated sellers. So let's switch over to, hey, Rick, what if I want to spend some money? Awesome question. So we're talking everything about virtual wholesaling, if you guys just jumped in right now. And you can rewind it, because this is all recorded for you. So the paid ones, you can go to listrei.com. You can go to zachdata.com. And you can either use Batch or you can use PropStream. Either one, we don't care. Find one that you like. They both give a free trial version. By the way, we're the only ones that offer both, because we believe in fair competition in businesses. And we actually use them both. And we like each one. Each one has their specialties. So you guys can check it out. Okay. In there, you can go and find lists. And a lot of them, you can pull up to 10,000 motivated seller leads per month. And then you can filter your list. You can find properties with high vacancies. You can do high equity properties. What else can you do? You can do liens. You can do zombie properties. It's endless what you can do. You can even find foreclosures in there. And without me going into detail, so I don't tie up the whole live stream, is you can actually learn how to do this at freewholesaling.com. We have an entire list section. If you want to pull these types of lists, we tell you how to exactly set the filters, and you can use it. And by the way, these services are very relatively cheap, less than $100 a month. Well worth it over paying an employee or paying a private person to pull leads for you. So this is your paid version. You have your free version that gives you two combos to get deals at your fingertips whenever you want to do it. So let's talk about talking to sellers virtually, because I don't know about you, but this was probably me and Zach's biggest challenge when we got into virtual marketing, because nobody had like a really good answer to us. So it becomes a real challenge, because you can't physically meet them. Now, for the most part, I would say 70%, probably 60% of sellers, if I had to take a local and a virtual market, I could get away with the phone, only because I have a lot of skill set and I spend a lot of time with it. You guys are going to be a little bit less experienced in this arena. So I'm going to give you a quick little skill that works very well with virtual wholesaling when they go, hey, Rick, when you kind of come out and look at the property. Okay. So the biggest thing, the biggest primary difference in virtual is you have to get them to commit to sign a contract over the phone via computer on like a DocuSign or any type of e-signature. Okay. And a lot of the biggest responses, they said, well, Rick, you know, I'm not really comfortable till you kind of come out and look at the property. And honestly, if you get that, a lot of you just go, oh my God, how do I overcome this? And you instantly think you got to hire someone locally to go out there. So here's what I want you to say when they do that. It's like, okay, John, hey, John, you know what? That is a great point you make. And let me just tell you how our business operates. So I know that you're serious, and we look at a lot of properties, and we don't waste our time, because every time we put contracts together, we do our due diligence, everything, it costs us a lot of money and time. So what we've decided to do, how we operate our business, is I'm going to send you a DocuSign. You sign the contract. And once you sign the contract, I'm going to schedule that someone come out there and look at the property, usually within like 3 to 7 days. And that way we can already start the paperwork rolling on your property. And that way we can get it closed quickly. Does it sound fair? And simply is saying, this is the procedure in our company. I have to get the contract signed first for me to move forward on it. Okay. It's a lot different than locally, because if you're local, you can just hop in your car and solve that problem. Virtually, you really can't. Every now and then you get stuck and you have to hire someone to help you out, but I don't want you hiring somebody on every virtual appointment. Okay. So just tell them my company's process is to get the contract signed first to make sure you're serious about it, because it costs us money to pull the title, have our staff work on it. And then I'll come out, take a quick look at the property. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And then we'll get the ball rolling on everything else. It's that simple. Guys, that is the biggest obstacle you're going to have to overcome virtual investing. And if you know how to say it just like that, and by the way, use the words that fit your soul. Like you're like, hey, okay, I get it. Like, that's it. Blame it on the company's policy and it's much easier. Yeah, it might be just you with the company. It was, listen, I was the Rick and Flip with Rick for the first 7 years. Okay. And it worked. Now, I didn't do virtual investing when I started out. I graduated to doing that. But if you're going to do it, please take that little tip. It works out wonderfully and it'll help you get past that objection. It's probably the number one objection you're going to get for virtual wholesaling. Okay. Now, the next tool is like, Rick, do I have to use my cell phone? No, I'm telling you right now, what you want to use is what's called a virtual phone number. Okay. Some people call them VPNs. I know there's other words for it. I'm not a tech guy, so don't take me down that rabbit hole. But simply just using, ready? Google Voice works very well. You can call anybody on your computer. It acts as an auto dialer for you. You can even pick the area code you want it to go from, so it looks like you're local in that area code. If you were in a 978 area code, you can dial back from a 978. You can pick your number out on Google. Make sure you remove the Google Voice setting, like this is Google Voice. You can get rid of that. And I got to tell you, I just wait for one day for Google to hit me over the head with that. But I've had a Google number since, I want to say 2010, 2009, maybe in 2008. So what is that? Like 12, 13 years. It ain't going anywhere. It works well. And the really cool part about it is if you miss a phone call, it will transcribe the message for you. Guys, T-Mobile, Sprint, all these other services, CallRail, I have them all, Vumber. They charge an arm and a leg to do this. Use Google Voice. It'll at least cover one of your phone numbers. It's free. Get in there. If you don't have one, go in there and save one right now. I imagine this option is eventually going to be removed. Okay. The next one is you have to locate a local title company. Okay. It's so important you have a local title company. So the title company has to reside in the state where you're doing your virtual business. And preferably you want it near the county where you're doing it. You're probably going to do two or three counties within that area. And for that reason, that's what you want to do. If you want to learn more on how to find a virtual title company, it's all at freewholesaling.com. But the easiest way is basically go on a Facebook search and then look for investor groups in what city are you doing. So if you're doing Atlanta, Georgia, put in investors Atlanta, Georgia, and then look in the threads of the post there and look for a title company they do business with. And you'll see a common thread. Look for a company that's familiar with doing assignments, that understand that you're working remotely. And once you find them, just work with them, tell them what you're trying to accomplish. And it's quite easy. I know you want to use your title company back in your home state, but that doesn't work in virtual investing. Please don't do that. It's not going to work. Find a local title company in the area you're doing business with. Okay. The next one is how to close sellers over the phone. Okay. So the biggest thing is getting their commitment to sign the contract. Once you get the contract signed, honestly, the biggest part of your objections is going to be over it. But I'm going to handle objections just like I would if I did it locally. Here's the difference, guys. When you're on the phone, you have to hyper pay attention to their tonality, to their speech, to how loud they are, how soft they are, how excited they get, how nervous they sound. And you have to really listen. So make sure you're in a very, very quiet room, like an office setting. Make it nice and quiet. Make sure the kids aren't screaming. Get the dog and cat under control, because it's challenging because you can't physically see them. I know you guys, well, I can do a face-to-face. That's rare. I'm just telling you, it's rare when you do those. So when you get there, when talking to the seller over the phone, you have to answer every objection. And the best way to do this is go over to freewholesaling.com. We teach you the sequences. We teach you the four qualifying questions, MCTP. If you guys don't know what that is, I promise you it's all in free wholesaling. We're going to talk about motivation, condition of the property, time frame, and pricing. And remember, price is never a motivating factor. It's just a result. That's all it is. Okay. But we still need to know what they need for the house. So remember, the only difference in virtual as far as local is you're closing everybody over the phone. And it's so important you pay attention and you follow the methods we teach in qualifying and disqualifying motivated sellers. Remember, guys, remember the cardinal rule. If there is no motivation, there is no deal in wholesaling. I promise you, you will spend hours and hours running around in circles and you will get nowhere because they are not motivated. A person who's only motivated by price needs a realtor or they need to suffer in the FSBO box for about 6 months to a year. Then they come over and talk to us wholesalers. So it's so important to understand that. Okay. The next one, you're going to use an e-signing service, DocuSign, Dotloop, Adobe. My God, there's so many now. You guys pick whichever one's the easiest for you and is a reasonable cost. Don't make this difficult. Make it super simple. Here's another tip I do for you. Whenever I'm doing an e-sign or like a DocuSign, especially if you have older people, try to do it with them over the phone and walk them through opening the email. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. And worst case scenario, if an elder person or anybody doesn't have computer, they have this thing called overnight mail. You just go over to the United States Postal Service. It's about $25 for you to ship it to them. You put the contract in, you put a sticky note on the whole thing, and then you put in the package a returned mail back that the post office will put that in there for you. And then when they sign it and they put it in there, you can track it and you know exactly when they drop it and usually get back a day or two later. Now, if that doesn't work, if it's just too complicated for them, offer a mobile notary. Okay. And guys, these mobile notaries are everywhere. You can go to notary123.com. You can look up in any city, in any state, and you can find a mobile notary, schedule it. It's usually anywhere from 50 to 100 bucks max, depending on how much of a rush job you need. And the really cool thing is you can email them all the docs, tell them where to sign. They'll print it. They'll go physically get it signed. They'll get it notarized if you need it. And then they will mail you the packet back. So you have three options to get any deal signed. There's no barriers to do this. Just make sure you use it. Don't get so stuck on a DocuSign like you wait. We do about 20% overnight, and we probably do about another 10% in mobile notaries. And then the other, we try to do e-sign because that obviously eliminates a lot of the hassles we have in it. So find those services. They're really like cheap. You don't need a fancy one, just a simple one that'll work for you and do it. Now, when it comes to hiring someone to take pics of the house, well, what do I need pics of the house? You need to get some sort of marketing material to get an idea of the condition of the house so you know how to price it, because that's the biggest question your cash buyers are going to have. So the easiest way to do it is find somebody on Craigslist, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media you want to use. Find someone local, preferably a retired real estate agent, maybe like a part-time Uber driver or a DoorDash person, and then make sure they have a camera, preferably an iPhone, because the iPhone typically takes the best pictures and it's easily transmittable. Guys, if they don't have an iPhone, like they're one of these Android people, I used to be an Android, I converted over to iPhone, but even if they have like one of these great, like Samsung ones, which are really high quality camera, and you have an iPhone, set up a WhatsApp app and it will send you the file much cleaner. You'll have no issues. There's somewhat of a mess between Android and iOS. Like it's a very tiny pixelated picture. So if you have that problem, just get the WhatsApp. It's completely free and send the videos and the pictures on that. And it works really, really well. And don't forget to have them take a video too. Okay. And by the way, the video, 9 times out of 10, we have the seller take the video for us, as long as they're not too elderly and they don't have like a flip phone. They can take a video, they upload it to like a Google Drive, make it simple. I tell them 2 minutes or less, because if it's like a 5 or 10 minute file, usually the video is very long and some people don't know how to upload a Google Drive to that link to do it. So a lot of times if you do it 2 minutes or less, you can actually email that file. And you want to keep it as simple as possible. Okay. The next one, how to find cash buyers virtually. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not a whole lot different than what you're going to learn in the local market. And for that reason, you don't have to worry about that. So the easiest way to start out is really start in your Facebook groups. And just go in there and search for landlords that, honestly, I like to look for, I'm looking for landlord groups. So you can go. So once again, if I'm in Atlanta, I'm looking for a real estate investor group. Once you find it, you join it, you answer their two or three questions, and then you just keep searching groups like that. And then you will see, hey, I'm looking for a deal here. I'm looking for a deal there. Looking for cash buyers in your market. You're looking for market cash buyers in your market. So don't search in your local market. It's not going to make sense. Make sure you go to the market that you're working in. Facebook groups is probably the best way to get the most amount of cash buyers. You can scrape their emails. You can ask them for their phone number. And for that reason, you can build a large cash buyers list real quick. The second way you can do it is you can jump over to listrei.com or zachdata.com, and you can pull cash sales for that area for the last 6 months. You can go back as far as 1 year and you can pull that list. Understanding we have market conditions changing, so a lot of those old buyers might not be up to date on the new buyer standards, and you want to get the most up to date information as you can. So I would probably cut it back to 6 months, if not even 3 months. Okay. Because remember, somebody 6 months or a year ago was paying a lot more than they are today, and you're going to have that issue when it comes up. So we're looking for like new, fresh buyers. Don't forget, go in places and look. Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace. Look for landlords that are trying to actively rent properties in the markets and where you're doing virtual wholesaling. Why? Because they're always looking to add more rentals to their portfolio. I'm always looking for more rentals in my area. I buy from local wholesalers if the number works, which is very rare. We just kind of go out and get our deals. But if I'm in a virtual market, I would probably be very happy to buy something from a wholesaler that would actually make financial sense. So you want to collect your cash buyers on there. I'm going through my list here. I'm trying to make sure I hit everything. So how do you walk cash buyers through virtually? This can be a little bit of a sticky, tricky one on this one. And this is where a lot of newbies get messed up on it. So say you get a property under contract, you lock it up, you got a great deal. You've taken pictures, the sellers helped you with videos, everything. You've got three or four people and they want to take a look at the property. Okay. Awesome. That's a great problem to have. That's what you want. So number one, you have to assess, first of all, is the house vacant or is it homeowner occupied? Meaning the person lives there and resides there. First off, if the house is vacant, it's a piece of cake. Just send them there. If you want to hire someone locally to babysit them and walk them around, usually a retired real estate agent or someone like that, or a former property inspector or property manager is perfect for that job. The hard part is if it's homeowner occupied, what do you do? In all fairness, the best way to do that is to try to find somebody locally and pay them between $50 and $100 and have them escort those buyers. And usually what you do is stagnate the buyers about 30 minutes apart. So if I had three buyers coming by, I'm going to set up, like an hour and a half window. Okay. And I'm going to let the seller know I'm going to be there for, roughly like 2 hours looking everything over, inspecting it. Now, half the sellers will go, hey, I'm going to leave. I don't want any part of this. That it kind of annoys me. And the other half is like, they just want to sit around and just kind of check things out. It's their house. They have that right. When the cash buyer comes, you meet them at the front door. Make sure you know exactly how many people are showing up to look at the property. So when you vet your cash buyer, say, listen, okay, Susie, you're coming over at 1 o'clock. I just want to confirm it's just you showing up. Sometimes she'll say, hey, listen, I'm bringing my contractor. What's your contractor's name? Write it down. It's important because if Susie wants to show up with four people, you're in trouble because you cannot control the conversation. Okay. The most important thing is know how many people are coming. Make sure they honor the time slots. Tell them not to come early. They won't be there. Buyers like to come early all the time, by the way. That's why you want to spread them out at least a half hour. And when you come in, your number one priority is meet them at the front door. Say, take a quick look around. You got 5 minutes. The seller's in there. Please do not speak to her. She's very sensitive about the selling of her house. If you speak to her, I'm not going to sell you the property. Walk through the house and then I'll meet you back at the front yard. Please do not talk to my seller. That's it. That's the most important. And then your job is to get them started, get them down the hallway, and you go sit with your seller. You guard your seller like a fine wine. Don't let anybody touch her, open her, do anything with it. The biggest risk when you bring a cash buyer to a property is them talking directly to the seller and them thinking they can scoot around you, or getting your seller upset and creating problems where you don't need them. This is the most important part. I get them in the house and get them out as fast as I can. And when they want to discuss price, I'll go out to the porch. I'll go out to the car far away from the seller. And then I'm keeping my eyes peeled for the new buyer, the other buyer to come in. When they come, I tell them they got to go. And 9 times out of 10, they're always just saying, well, you know, I got to think about it. I go, well, that's fine. I got like 3 or 4 other buyers coming. So we're going to make a decision on this today. So don't think too long and hard about this. It's first come, first serve. That's it, guys. That's as simple as you're going to need it. Now, keep in mind, you're going to need a runner or boots on the ground that help you do this when you have multiple sellers. And honestly, the $50 or $100 is well worth it when you have multiple buyers. You've just got to take stock in your seller. If your seller cannot handle it, you need to assess the situation, because usually you only get one shot, maybe 2 shots to sell them. If you have a cooperative seller, you can yank between 4 and 6 people in there. But remember, this is why we want you to vet your cash buyers as much as possible, so you don't have to waste time figuring stuff out when they get there, find out they're not really a cash buyer. And then you only get so many people to show the house to, you don't want to waste it. So it's brutally important. Okay. The best person for this is, as I said, a realtor, a JV partner, a for hire person, Facebook, an ex-property manager. I like Uber and DoorDash drivers because they got a lot of time in between their hands. But Facebook is one of the best places to find these people, and it works really well. So once you get your cash buyer through that, you can have them sign assignment of contract. And guess what? You can have them do it on an e-sign, a DocuSign, the whole 9 yards. Or what I like to do is send it over to my title company, have them go by, leave their deposit, and sign the assignment of contract. And the assignment of contract is simply another contract that attaches to your original contract. And basically, they're fulfilling your place. And basically, you close the deal and you get paid at closing, and you just keep doing it over and over. So I get so many of you guys asking me about, hey, you know what? How do I do virtual wholesaling? The biggest challenge is you just got to get started. You're never going to have every question answered. I love people who pick markets out that they're somewhat familiar. Maybe they lived there for a few years. Maybe a family member lives there. And if you can get some help, oh my gosh, it's even better. It is phenomenal if somebody has the lay of the land for you there and they kind of know it. Because then you just have to bring your marketing skill sets and your ability to talk the sellers to the table. And then use the practice that we teach over on freewholesaling.com. And I said, guys, wholesaling is not complicated. I don't know why everybody makes it like it's so challenging. You got to pay me $5,000 to figure it out. It's a joke. It's not. I'm telling you guys, I just had a guy who got in the course, got in there in 2 weeks. He got a deal. He's making like $42,000. And he told me straight up on a phone call, Rick, I just followed what you were teaching. I wasn't overly confident. But I had just enough confidence to convince the seller. And now I'm like, I'm jacked. And that's what I want you to understand, is we all go through that same set of emotions when we go into wholesaling. You are no different than me. You're no different than anybody else we do here. And I want you to understand that. So let me go over to the comment section. As I said, I posted, let me see if I put it up here. I will put it on here again. So if you want to jump on the live, let me get this off of here. I don't know how to make a sticky post, but I posted it in here because I will take questions as long as I have people to ask questions. And remember, there's no bad questions, guys. I don't care. I put the link in there, and I want everybody to get started in wholesaling. So let me check the questions here. Corey, I'll pull you on in 2 seconds here. Hold on. Guys, get in line here, because I don't know, man. I got a hurricane bearing down on me. I'm not sure how many more questions I can answer this week. I'm just kidding. As long as we got power, we're still going to go. So look at this. Steven in South Florida. You know, I started wholesaling in Broward County. Actually, I grew up there. So guys, if you want to hop on the link, it's towards the bottom of the comments. You'll see it in there. I just posted it up there. Awesome, Denzel. I appreciate you, man. Look at all these markets, man. It's awesome. So What's up, Omar? So, PDD, do not tell people you have 60 grand to invest because you know who's going to come after you the hardest. There's this thing called a real estate coach, and most coaches have less than like 3 years experience, and they want to take $5,000 to $10,000 out of your pocket to tell you how to do it because they don't do it anymore. So I don't want you to spend a dime. So go over to freewholesaling.com, figure out what we're doing, and let me know if wholesaling rings a bell to you and gets you excited, and then sign up and register at Free Wholesaling, jump on these lives, and I'll show you how to turn that 60K into about 600K pretty quickly. So, okay. What's up, Shai? I appreciate you. Thank you so much. What's up, John? How you doing? So John's fighting. He hears me talking about 2 years to freedom because that's about what it takes. It's just the truth. By the way, wholesaling coaches won't tell you that because they think you're free in like a month or two. It's just, that's a cop-out so they can get your $5,000 or $10,000 in fee. So, no, you don't tell them you're a wholesaler. You're just a real estate investor that buys houses for cash. It's that simple. So, Justin's talking about freezing pipes ain't so bad. See, I don't know that, Justin, but see, now Justin's got a wrestling pitch up there. I like that a lot. So I can't tell. He's got to post some more on that. So I'm a big wrestler. I wrestled high school. You guys know Zach wrestled his entire high school career. So I love it, man. Great sport. Little man Jay. Uh-oh. I'll pay anyone $500 to get little man Jay on this live stream tonight. Don't do that, man. I like my little man Jay, man. That's Zach playing with me. So I like little man Jay. How do you not like little man Jay? He's inspiring, dude. He's a funny guy. So Google Voice doesn't work in Canada. Well, Jose, there, I'm sure you can find another internet service that does. I didn't know that. So that's good to hear. What's up, Jennifer? Jennifer says, this is a big holdup in my business. I locked up two this week, but I don't have boots in these cities. The dispo part is what I need help with. So it is a challenge. But Jennifer, like I'm telling you, it's going to be a process in figuring your dispo challenge. And I lost a lot of deals, me and Zach, when we first deal it. But once you figure it out, then it gets easier. That's why I tell everyone it takes like 3 months to be profitable in virtual wholesaling because you're not familiar with it. You don't have boots on the ground. And for that reason, you just got to fight through it and just got to overcome it with persistence and you'll get there. So awesome. Exactly what I needed. JB's late, but I'm here. That's cool, man. Steve says, how much do I pay someone to take pics and videos? It's completely up to you. $50-$60 usually gets it done. $100 if they're going to meet with multiple cash buyers and help shield you against your seller, or maybe help you get something signed from your seller. It might deserve like $100. So, what's up, Olivia? Olivia says, on a co-violation, when it says vacant, pre-foreclosure, long tall grass with tenants, does that mean it's a hoarder property? Not necessarily. It just means it's a really rough property. It has the potential to be a hoarder property, but I have no idea. But you got to get in contact with the seller and see if there's any motivation there. So that's it. So okay, he's back. I'm all in wholesaling, been watching for a while. How do I invest in myself? Dude, simply start at freewholesaling.com and then why don't you jump on this mastermind and we can just share it and we can talk publicly about it. I promise you, I won't embarrass you, dude. I've been in your shoes before. Dude, you're young. I want to help you out. I showed my son how to do it. I can show anybody any age how to get started in wholesaling. See, guys, wholesaling is not about how smart you are. We're all taught about like book smart. I'm here to tell you, the smartest person wholesaling usually doesn't make the most money. It's the person who takes the most action and is extremely consistent and builds their confident muscle. They absolutely destroy it in wholesaling. I don't care what your IQ is. Honestly, most of you can crush me in an IQ test. I know I didn't do well in the SATs. I didn't do well in school, but I always knew I was going to make money. I just had to find the vehicle. and if wholesaling resonates with you and it's dynamite. See, I made wholesaling when I was completely broke. So the $60,000 is great. I want you to set that aside. I'd like you to take some of that money and go attend like a Tony Robbins, a UPW, when one comes close to you. It's less than $1,000. It's a great investment. That's all about your mindset. And they work on you 4 days with just trying to program your mind. Or if you don't have the time or the availability to do it, just go pick up a UPW book. It's about 600 pages. It'll change your life forever. The man thinks so far outside the box. He's helped my mindset. He's helped Zach's. And he's probably the best single communicator in the entire world, in my opinion. So I love what you're doing. Just do not advertise you got 60K out there, because I promise you there's people on the stream that are looking to take your money, and they're just like salivating. You got to understand, guys, wholesaling, with me and Zach offering this free wholesaling, it's freaking out the wholesaling community because we've ripped the veils off. And you can't say I don't have experience doing that. Me and Zach got over 25 years experience getting ready to go on 27. We're at another 2 years here. Nobody can touch what I do in wholesaling. I know it for a fact. Nobody. Zero. Okay. Awesome. Michelle, yes, you can wholesale pre-foreclosures. It's actually one of the easier ones to do. Dealing with the pre-foreclosures, that's a whole nother topic. So, but it works really well. So get Justin here. Russell, for 12 years, man, I got a late start. Us Florida boys, like, we don't figure it out till like late middle school and high school. So, dude, like, you're right up my alley. I'm a giant. Me and Zach love watching the UFC. And I will tell you, though, Justin, wrestling's probably the one sport that will train you for wholesaling better than any other sport. Because the minute you just think you're a superstar and you can beat anyone else, somebody always steps up to the game and crushes you. And you always feel like you're out there alone, and you constantly have to be disciplined and trained. And I love wrestling for that. And I think more young men should do it today, because we're losing that competitive experience. So the competitive part of wrestling is awesome for wholesaling, although the only person you're ever competing with is yourself. So so you probably kill me and pin me, but I don't wrestle. I tried wrestling Zach once, and it didn't end well. So, but you know, I'm up there, man. So awesome. I'll see, you know how to join. Let's go. Okay, Corey, you there?
Rick, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Long time no speak. So guys who do don't know Corey's been around. Actually, Corey got here kind of when we got started, really got going at the beginning of this year. And, dude, he's like out in the stratosphere on his own. Like, he's way past.
Trying.
Yeah. So just so you guys know, the whole idea of free wholesaling is to get you started up and running, get your first few deals under your belt, give you that confidence, and get you to your first 100 grand. And after that, you can come like Corey, just flap your wings. And now Corey's got my cell phone. Don't ask how that happened. But like, I love to do business and talk to people that like really hustle in this business. So me and him like talk maybe every other week, and you know why? Cause I love people like this. So if you guys want to become like appreciate Corey, that. Dude, I'll talk to you all day long. Like I like live, eat, and breathe this stuff. It's not an act. I don't do it for coaching because you guys know I don't charge for coaching. So I must have some sort of sickness or disease that love wholesaling this much. So
you're a sick.
What's
man,
going
Rick.
On, man?
You're a sick man. I just wanted to stop by and drop some motivation on the chat today. That deal I talked to you probably about a week ago or so about, after I went through the buyer walkthrough, we closed that one today. That was our biggest wholesale deal ever. The check after the double closing fees was just a little over $64,000. I walked away, you know, I got a partner, so we split everything 50-50, but I got a check for myself for $32,048.50.
Dude, that's awesome. I mean, that's just,
oh yeah.
Roughly, when did you really get started in wholesaling? Like, when did you really like start?
I started just doing the research and everything and watching y'all's content in probably mid-November, but I got my first deal in January.
Yeah. So basically end of last year, and now he's already there. Yeah. And then I'm telling you, Corey, the really cool part is you are 1 year away from being so financially free, you're going to freak out because you've just started. Now
I look forward to
make payments. You got money set aside. He's figuring out like how to do some paid for marketing. He's fortunate enough to have a really good business partner, which is tough in this business. I always tell people, like, I went solo for 7 years. So, and by the way, I had multiple partners. It didn't work out. But I'm tough to work with. And I know that up front, meaning it's just,
It's just that unique situation that we both have the same goals, aspirations. Our why is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And we're just both all about taking action. Like if we're not calling, looking for leads or doing something, we just can't sit idle knowing that there's money just floating out there.
So I remember when I went through wholesaling, I go, man, if I could just have 10 grand sitting in my bank account, I would I would really be impressed. I remember I put 10 grand in, I showed my wife, she looked at me, she goes, well, can you do that again? I go, I think I can. I came back, I did it 4 more times. And then, you know, we put about 15, 20 grand after all expenses, everything paid. She's like, wow. And then I remember at the end of that year, I was getting close to where you are. I go, man, if we just put 100 grand in it, like 100 grand, I will never ask for anything else.
Yeah.
I remember putting 100 grand in and my wife goes, that's impressive.
Now what?
Like, man, it's hard to impress you. And it's like, and then all of a sudden it's like, she used to come to me. She's like, you know, the account's getting like, it's getting down to like the low 100,000s. I'm like, and now it's like, I don't know, like, you know, here I am like 7 years later. And now it's just like, it's insane. It's like,
Rick,
I have
we're getting ready to dip below $1 million.
Yeah, you just keep adding zeros. And I'm like, I run with a group of people, an organic mastermind. I don't do paid for masterminds because all they do is like rub each other's back and tell you what you want to hear. But every one of these guys, if you have like less than 10 million in a bank, like you feel broke.
And that's who I try to aspire to.
Like, what's that?
I said, I remember a saying that you said, it was a while back. I heard you say it, but you said hustle until your bank account looks like a phone number.
Yeah. I
think about that every day.
Like, holy crap. And then the funny thing is, so I have a lot of accountants and bookkeepers and like, so I have to have a meeting every quarter. And I go, I'm like, so I remembered a business I opened with my son. And I completely forgot about it. I'm like, holy crap. Like, it's real. Wow, that's really good. Just had a bunch of rental property. I just forgot about it. Zach manages it. And I'm like, holy moly. Like, every time I turn around, I'm like, so every time, here's what I do, guys. When I make money, I put it away. I try to buy something that buys me really good cash flow. And I pretend I'm broke. And I go and try to find like my next deal. And that's how I do real estate. If you sit on that money and go, oh, I'm just going to sit. You can't, like, money has to be used or it's going to be taken away from you. So what I do is so when you're a wholesaler, it's active income. It's a job, right, Corey? I mean, you work for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So your job is the reality. If you do wholesaling right, you don't have to do wholesaling forever, but you don't ever really have to stop it. If you run it really well, you can set up a business and it'll pay you for the rest of your life. So if you ever meet a coach that says, I stopped wholesaling, it means they failed at it. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just the truth. Because I have an entire staff that runs my wholesaling. I'm not involved in it at all. Although I do, because I actually enjoy doing that stuff and you get it like up and running. And then the idea is once you make money, you got to figure out how to keep it. And that's a whole nother lesson that I would love to teach you guys. I've learned how to keep it. I'm just trying to find the highest and best use for it. And it's a constant evolution because none of us were taught any of this in school. I guarantee your parents for the most part didn't teach it to you. And the thing is, the reality is most wholesalers will make a crap load of money and then they'll smoke through it. And you only got to do that once or twice and you go, okay, I got to figure this out. You guys work way too hard for your money and I want you to find ways to keep it. So Corey's next venture is start taking this money and investing it, because once you do that is you just start getting residual income. And then after 5 or 10 years, you're like, I don't have to work anymore. What do I want to do that makes me fun? Let's go talk to people on the internet about wholesaling. Let's drive every guru nuts and make this free, because I'm not dependent on this income. And that's what I'm doing now. And if I didn't set up all those investments over the last 10 years, I wouldn't be speaking with you guys doing this. And now, fast forward, I taught Zach how to do it at a very early age, so he didn't have to make all the same mistakes I did. And I want you guys to pass this knowledge down once you master it. But remember, this is like an airplane. When the mask drop down, you have to put the mask on yourself and take care of you first to get your business up and running. And then you can take care of your family for the rest of your life. And like Corey, so what did you do before you did wholesaling?
I worked at a plant that made glass for houses and things like that.
And how long did
Blue
you do that
collared
for?
work. I only worked there for probably about a year, and after that, I worked in the oil field, just back-breaking work for years.
And how did you find wholesaling? I know you told me the story, but share it.
So I came across a TikTok video just talking about it, and then I started looking up wholesaling on YouTube and came across y'all's channel. Just went through all the content and everything, and I had a lot of questions starting out. I just hopped on the lives, got my, you all held my hand in the beginning and answered all my questions. It seems like every time I would get a question answered, I would have 10 more. But eventually, got my first deal, got my second deal, and I was like, hey, kind of getting the hang of this. Let's start, being a little bit more proactive, actually trying to make something out of this. And then before you know it, I was at work one day, and at the time I had like three deals that were waiting to close. And
Yeah.
I was like, what am I even doing here right now? And so I left, and I've just been wholesaling full time ever since then. And now, like before we close that deal today, we have four deals in escrow right now. So we got three more waiting to close. I got to find some more. I get nervous when all my deals are currently assigned and I don't have any new
I
contracts
know,
in. I'm
it's
like, I got
crazy,
to
isn't
find
it?
some deals.
Yeah. And then
So,
Corey, what's your favorite marketing method, if you don't mind sharing?
I love, as far as like seller outreach, I love cold calling. SMS is my second.
Yeah.
Reverse driving for dollars is really good. But when I first started, driving for dollars and code violations were the best ones for me. Government list, I mean, you guys push the government list really hard. They have never disappointed me.
Yeah. So it's
And to be completely transparent, if I look at the deals I've pulled from, like, because, we have our cold callers, they call, like, the vacants and all the other lists you can pull from PropStream. But if I break it down to how many deals have I pulled from, like, PropStream or batch lists versus government lists, the government list or like reverse driving for dollars, things like that, it's just, a entire different level of, deals that you can get. So,
That's cool. And Corey, have I ever taken $1 from you in any shape, form, anyway? Have I?
no, you never asked, but
Have I ever asked you for it?
no,
No.
you
So
didn't. You
guys,
didn't
like,
ask me for a discovery call. You didn't ask for my credit card. You
nothing. All
didn't
yourselves.
charge me to sign up for the course.
Yeah. So
So,
when I tell you guys to hop on these things, I truly want to help you out. And,
yeah.
Corey's been around kind of when we were figuring things out. So I appreciate it. But, to be honest with you, he just did what he needed. Like, if you do exactly what I tell you and like take the action,
That's it,
and then
exact.
you have to make some adjustments. Nothing's ever perfect. And that's why we do these one-on-one lives. I challenge any other wholesale or guru that does one-on-ones. They don't. You have to
Yeah.
pay a monstrous fee to get a one-on-one, and I'm here to dispel all that. The funny
Yeah.
thing is, I was told you will never be successful in what you do, Rick, because there's no skin in the game.
Yeah.
I think me and Zach have over 1,500 testimonials. I never asked for one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I've
You don't
never
have to.
asked anybody for a testimonial. If I
You don't
did,
have
I'd
to
probably
because, I
get.
mean, this stuff is life-changing. This
Yeah.
changes people's lives. This changed my life.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay for this, but I feel like I owe that at least in return is to tell other people who are skeptics, like, hey, this works. Like, I got a stack of HUDs in there in my office. I've shown the checks. Like, it works. Just, but people overcomplicate it. And my
Yeah,
response
they
is,
do.
just
Wholesale
follow
is
the,
actually pretty, it's pretty
yeah.
simple, wouldn't you
I
agree?
mean,
I mean, the basics of it.
it's straightforward. Now, I mean, if
Yeah.
you get into like creative financing and stuff like that, if you're not
Yeah, that's right.
experienced, it can be complicated. But the basics, you're just assigning a contract. It's simple.
Yeah.
You find a property that somebody else wants to buy for more than what you got it under contract for.
So if you
But
guys see Corey in the comment, you can ask him questions. Don't ask to pay him because Corey, I got Corey to commit to my system.
I'm not going to
The
take your money.
money, the guys, the true money in life is in wholesaling. I'm not knocking coaches like you want to coach, but there's too many wholesaling coaches. This is why I do the wholesaling for free.
Yeah.
All these coaches, by the way, have been through nothing but an up market, and they're all trying to figure out what's going to do when the market like comes back like it is. And I'm telling you, like they're going to have to figure it out the hard way. But
Yeah.
to each his own. If I'm transparent, I give you a course. Why not jump on it? And then you can use my course, even if you want to pay the guide and compare it. I promise you, in 30 days, you're going to throw the other course away. Because the problem is, you have to pay the money, then look at the course. And if you don't like the course, what are you going to do? And it's
Yeah.
like, for that reason alone, people are telling me they're signing non-disclosures and stuff like that. Guys, you shouldn't sign your life away for someone. It should be the opposite. They should be helping you out as much as possible. And now most wholesaling courses have like an 8 to 12 week cutoff. That's ridiculous. It takes longer to learn this business than 8 to 12 weeks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can get a deal, but like to learn the business, that's ridiculous. So at free wholesaling, you come back as long as you want. I don't care. And as you get successful, I like to be, I'm kind of everyone's friend, but like successful people, I kind of make them my own inner mastermind group. And Corey's definitely there. So at some point, we'll have to do a physical event. I don't know how to do it. Oh, I don't like to waste money. Awesome. I don't like people hopping on planes. I'd rather you guys spend time with your family.
Yeah.
If you got to go to a seminar to get pumped up to do wholesaling, I promise you it's going to have a $5,000 or $10,000 price tag. That's why they pay tens of thousands of dollars to hold these events to get you super excited. And honestly, I'm just going to give you the down dirty work to get a deal. So figure out which one you guys want: a boat ride, you want a fancy dinner, you want a beautiful hotel room, or do you want Rick and Zach showing you how to get your first wholesale deal and get you the first $100,000? So guys, don't be chasing down Corey. Like when he wants to answer a question, he's usually very generous with his time. And I appreciate him always helping out on these live streams. And that's what I want, more people like him. I probably got about 50 or 60 people, not quite at Corey's level, but are just about there. And they're kind of in the same mantra. And I love it. So anything else I can help you out with today? Although I'm going to probably start calling you for help here at this rate. That rate you're
going, man. I'm not at that level yet. I'm still going to need some help every now and then. That's why I called you there a week ago. I thought I made a no-no, but it ended up working out okay.
No, people will test you, and it makes you better in the long run with it. So,
yeah. So okay, I just wanted to hop in and share the motivation and let everybody know that this stuff's legit.
Awesome.
Follow the course.
Well, I appreciate you, Corey. Thank you so much, man. Awesome.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay. Tony says Corey's a beast. Guys, he basically started in January. Now, dude, he's buried in deals. And I didn't know Corey. Corey just decided to take me and Zach's advice. He jumped on it. He started jumping on one-on-ones. And then before I know it, dude, like he just, every time I talk to him, I'm closing this, I'm closing that. It's like absolutely crazy. So somebody asked what UPW was. It is Tony Robbins' version of Unleash the Power Within. It's his like core seminar. It's really good. Like if you've got problems like with your mind being stuck, honestly, it's probably one of the best places to start, because it helped me clarify when I was leaving a corporate job and everything, like what was my priority. So, okay, let's keep rolling here. LC, you there? LC. Okay, I'm going to come back to you. Tristan, you there?
How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, sir. I just had a couple questions for you. First one was, I'm trying to get a contract for a signing, and I did find one on your website, but I'm not sure. Well, I'm in Denver.
Okay.
I'm just not sure if it's legally applicable here, or if I should consult an attorney or something.
Okay. You need an assignment of contract or a contract?
Assignment of contract.
Okay. So if you go over to freewholesaling.com, it'll all be right there for you. Honestly, I've almost used it in every state that I'm aware of. You can't really screw up an assignment of contract because it's just taking over the rights.
Okay.
Just so you know, an assignment of contract, the contract has to be assignable to use it. If a contract's not assignable, you can't use it. If it's assignable, honestly, almost any of them will work. But the one we provide you at freewholesaling.com, I've tested over 20 years. I've been to court multiple times. Like I've been through the ringer with this thing, man. And not many people say they can be tested like I have. I've had everything known that could possibly happen on a contract on that thing. So I highly recommend using it. You're crazy if you don't use it. Awesome. As far as the contract, sometimes you have to review it with a local attorney in your state. And I always advise everyone doing that. So Tristan, as long as you have an assignable contract, you are good to go with the one at freewholesaling.com.
Sounds good. And then for the first thing we said before, for the contract, how would I get one of those?
You're talking about a purchase and sales agreement?
Purchase and sales agreement, yeah.
Okay. So at freewholesaling.com, we teach you, you got to kind of prepare your war chest. So number one, We have a simple two-page, basically PSA contract, which is purchase and sales agreement. It's wholesaler contract. It's simple. It's very simplified. There's only one spot for the seller to sign. You put in the price in there and the deposit and the dates, and that's it. That works for people who want simplification in their life and don't want it complicated.
Yeah.
If you have an analytical person and they want to pick it apart and they want to review it with attorneys and they want their sister and the realtor to look at it, go to your state and find out the state approved contract by the NAR Association and the Bar Association. And they usually have one contract. It's ridiculous. It's usually like 13 to 20 pages.
Yeah.
It does the exact same thing. Just make sure your contract's assignable and you have an inspection period in there, and it actually works the same thing. It just goes into like 15 pages of scenarios like, you know, what if you disappear? What if the seller dies and all this other stuff? Yeah. Most of that stuff's handled anyways, but just know your seller. So if a seller is highly analytical and you know you're going to have to deal with an attorney, use the bigger, fatter contract.
Sounds good. And my third question, then last question is, I was just wondering how I pull a government list. Do I go down to government office to do that, or can I do it online, you think?
Well, you could technically send an email, but you have to know where to send the email. 9 out of 10 emails get rejected. You're 50-50 over the phone, and in person, you have the highest probability. Okay. So you got to find out which government list you're going to attack, and then you just take them down one at a time. There's no one department that takes them all down. So if you're going over to code violations, you usually got to go over like to the building department or like the city hall.
All right.
You got to go over to there. Honestly, you're going to have to drive to that one because it's brutal to get over the phone or email. As far as probates, evictions, all that fun stuff, you got to go to your county courthouse.
All right.
And honestly, if you want to get the probates, you're probably better off doing it. Listen, whenever you can go belly to belly with anyone, it's just better because people interact better. It's just easier to turn people down that aren't standing in front of you. So the reality is, if you want to break up like with your girlfriend or boyfriend, if like someone wants to send an email text, is it easier? Yes. Is it right? No. And you got to understand these are people. So their boss says anyone who asks for it, just tell them no, and most of them will go away. If you overcome the objection twice, they will typically give you what you need. Remember, these are all public records. They all act like you can't have it.
Yeah.
BS. Like, just be nice with them. So if you have the ability, it's local, go in person will make a tremendous difference. Because a lot of people start with email, then they start with a text, and then a phone call, and they always wind up there in person. Like, Rick, I should have just gone there in person. So that's what I'm gonna advise you to do.
I'll try that. Well, it was great talking with you, Rick. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Tristan. Thanks, man. Okay. LC, you back? LC, I'm going to go once, twice. I got some eager people waiting, man. Okay. I tried. Hey, are you there?
Hey, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. And thank you for you and your son providing us with all this content. I just started getting into all this a few months ago and came across your site a few months ago.
Okay.
I'm kind of getting off to a slow start, so it's kind of good to hear Corey's story. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Wow. I was just there.
Yeah, and from what you're saying, it's kind of a tough market. Yeah, everything's pretty expensive out here.
No, I'm just straight up with you. It is not the problem is it's not. Can you physically wholesale? Yes, but the problem is when you're at what's the average price point for San Francisco? It's like
in the city, it's over $1 million. It's definitely over $1 million.
Yeah, probably closer to two.
Yeah.
So the problem is when prices get so high that the wholesalers just kind of go away because it's all done through brokerages and agents, and they're all very sophisticated sellers and buyers. And that's the reason it doesn't work. But San Francisco has been like that since the 90s, though. This isn't like something I remember people talking about in the 90s when I was a teenager, and I didn't understand it. Now it kind of makes sense on it. So, but I tell you up front, you could do a deal in San Francisco. I have a friend in San Francisco, and he's a wholesaler, but he's very advanced. And he started back in the days when, you know, the average price point was $400,000 or $500,000, which was way back then. But he takes the same skills that I do, and he does it The only difference is he knows every broker, he knows every agent, and when a deal pops up, he moves fast. He's got a lot of cash. The one thing in San Francisco, you can't. It's very tough to do anything without funding. Everybody knows. Like everybody wants to know who's got the money. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I don't want you to try to figure out how do I have to come up with like $1.5 million just to make this deal work. So I think tonight's presentation was probably kind of geared for someone like you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you grow up in that area?
I grew up, yeah, from middle school, I grew up here, and then I went to boarding school in Massachusetts for...
Wow, you've been all over the place, man.
Yeah.
That ain't a cheap market either.
Yeah, and then 7 years in Minnesota after that. So you said on the free wholesaling website, you can find out some virtual market. I mean, what strategies would you say, like, the next step? I literally had no traction.
Have you picked a market yet?
No, everything I've done so far has been outer San Francisco, Bay Area, though.
Okay. So the first thing you want to do is you want to find a market. So since you're not, if you pick something virtually, you want to make the best choice possible, right? So you're going to go, I want to go where I make the most money. Well, it's not always that simple. The easiest way with no experience and without getting complicated in software and data, you can use listaria.com. You can use zackdata.com. Those are our PropStream and Batch. But the reality is that's data. So unless you're like really good with, like that's not my strong suit. The problem with data, here's the problem with data. It all takes time to like put together. Okay. The numbers you guys are seeing coming out with the real estate market right now, prices declining, you know, days on market going up. It's 3 to 4 months behind. We're so much further in the hole than the data is showing us because everything is logged and everything's 30 days for the county to record. Then they scrape it. Then the realtors, the National Association of Realtors, they report it. Like the last reporting we had come out was July, guys. July. We're almost in October. And we've already seen prices are dropping, inventories rising. So that's the problem with data. It's very delayed, and I hate that. On the buyer side, it's usually 3 to 6 months, in my opinion. So the easiest shortcut to it is because the internet is out there for everyone. Simply finding Facebook group pages, Instagram, stuff like that. Go find other wholesalers in markets you're interested. So say if you were looking in, say, Tennessee, right? Like, I kind of like it. It's, and understand everything you want to understand everything about the state laws first. Like, is it a, knowing the difference between a judicial and non-judicial state. Do you know what that is? Mm-mm. Okay. Simple. It's, you guys want to know it. It doesn't make a judicial state, meaning for someone to take the house away, you have to have a legal court proceeding and they have to go through and foreclose on you. So state of Florida is like that. A non-judicial, like the state of Georgia, it's kind of like when you buy a car. If you finance it, the bank holds the title. Mm-hmm. So in Atlanta, like when you in Atlanta, Georgia, when you don't pay your mortgage, they just file a motion and they don't have to go through a lengthy foreclosure. And it's houses like 3 months they're taken away. In Florida, it takes a year. And when it got really bad, it took up to 4 to 5 years to get them back. So little things like that. And then non-disclosure states versus disclosure states. That tells you what the prices of our houses are. A non-disclosure state makes it a little bit more challenging. There are ways around it, but it's a pain in the butt. And just kind of knowing the layout. Does it snow there? Do pipes freeze? Is the population growing? Is it shrinking? You can just do a basic market research without getting complicated in data. Simple things, looking for Home Depot's, Lowe's, and like Starbucks, they tend to follow where the people are going. They spend millions and millions and millions on data. I don't want to spend it. So once you do that, you find it. And then you go, okay, these three cities look interesting. So say you find three cities. So start searching. So if you're in Tennessee, look for investor groups. And then say, if you're looking in Memphis, Tennessee, I don't know anything about Memphis, guys. I've been there. I don't know anything about it. And then just put in Memphis and real estate investors. And then you're going to find investors posting deals in there. Now you're going to do a little homework on that investor. See if they're active. See if they're buying a bunch of stuff. Look at the zip codes. Get on their cash buyers list. Now go find and see if anyone else is doing the same as that person, he or she. And then what you do is you go, okay, he's having success there. She's having success there. this guy just started 2 months ago. He's got five properties. They're all in the same zip code. Like, I'm not a rocket science. The beauty of this data is it's fresh. It's current. It's not 4 months behind. They are actively marketing a property. Now, and someone told me, well, I think that's illegal or like you're no, listen, if you're going to brag on the internet and let your ego get the best of you and you don't vet your cash buyers, shame on you. Okay. And just use it. Because it won't cost you a dime to do it this way, Tyler. Like, I do it all the time. All my virtual markets are exactly how I tell you. I get people upset with me, but like, sorry. Maybe you guys keep your mouth shut a little bit better. And like, you shouldn't be throwing all your properties out on the internet like that. So get signed up on a wholesaler's cash buyers list and look for tendencies. And when you start seeing them cross, go, okay, I think I got something here. Why I like that is because they're marketing today and they're selling today and you're getting data fresh. When you get it from services, it works, but you're making like stuff shifts all the time. And the problem is data is dated. So if you get it from like realtors, if you get it from list services, it's usually 3 to 6 months behind on average. And that's my problem with it. Like, I've had that problem before. So when I go out and get like real data, and I get people pissed at me because I think you're copying what I'm doing. I'm like, dude, if it's on the internet, like there's nothing you can do. Like and that's why I always tell every wholesaler, if you lose your ego, you can do a lot more. And then you'll learn when you start doing a lot of deals in there, you're not going to throw it out on like every Facebook group because you know people are going to do exactly what you do. And that's the problem. So I'm telling you, if you use that technique, it is phenomenal. It's like, it's so easy. You and me could go on right now. I could find you 10 markets with my eyes shut. It's so easy to find. And you'll see tendencies on all of them. Okay. The downside of the virtual markets is it usually takes 3 months to dial it in and get it somewhat profitable because you don't know the values. You don't understand the area and you're trying to figure stuff out. Once you get familiarized, just like when you went from San Francisco to Mass, it's like a whole different environment. A lot of snow there. You had to figure out like how to dig out a driveway. So like, and you're not used to it. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, I went to San Francisco thinking I would enjoy like a little cooler weather. It was freezing there in July, June. I don't understand why it's so cold there. I had to get one of those cheap San Francisco sweatshirts and walk around like that. It was embarrassing.
Absolutely.
But man, it is cold there at night.
It is.
I mean, I'm a Florida guy. Like, we're sweating as soon as we walk out, take the dog out in the morning. I'm covered in sweat at 7 a.m. It's like, and I enjoyed it, but man, it got cold, man. So it's like, so as environments change, you have to change with it. So the beauty of virtual is like, you don't have to go there, but there are a lot of obstacles. You just got to work your way through them. The first thing you do is you got to find it. And this is the exciting part. It's kind of the easy part. And you could just like have like a look at it. You watch football at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
NFL.
I'm terrible at fantasy football. I'm beyond terrible because I'm one of these, like, I commit to a team and that's what I follow. So my friends and actually my son's got me involved in fantasy football and I don't get it because I need certain things to happen in the game tonight, but God knows it's not going to happen. Is, you know, like you research and you pick out like which QB is going to score and you get like the one defense. It's the same strategy. Go, listen, I like this state and this state because of this. Now let me go confirm the data. And then once I find fresh data, it's on, man. Like once you find it, it's so easy. It's so easy. And it's there's plenty of reports to tell you which markets they think are overvalued now. You can go like turn blue on the internet with it, but have fun with it. Make it like a fantasy football draft and go and just pick two or three markets. And then the beauty of it, when you decide on a market, always have one or two backup ones and then test it small. Don't go in large, test it. So if you were drilling for gold, and you had like a 100-acre property and you know nothing about it other than that someone told you it's good, you're better off paying a guy to drill like 50 test holes and test, see if there's any little bits of gold in there before you bring in all the heavy equipment and spend millions of dollars. Test it out. Sometimes markets don't always add up, but sometimes you can get in and out very quickly. Remember, no moving truck, no office, no employees. You can get up and move. I've had to move markets before. Like if they stink in the first 45 days, it's usually not going to get better in my opinion. So once we find one or two and like we feel like part of it is your confidence and that's a big part of it. And you go from there. San Francisco, you can always stay in, like you have a long enough history of being there and you know values and stuff, but you know, just to get a deal here and there And then as you build your war chest and you have some money, then you can buy anything you want in San Francisco. But the problem is you got to put up like $1 million to make $200,000 or $300,000. It's like, they're brutal about it, man.
Yeah.
I looked at a deal with someone to do it in there. It was like, I think it was 1.4 and needed 500,000. I was like, man, this, it's not that I have the money. It's just out of my, I don't want to, they were going to spend a year and a half building it. Mm-hmm. And they would only be 6 months into it. You imagine if I bought that, I would have got killed.
Yeah.
So, is it, you understand how to go find the market?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Facebook groups. I'm going to look for, try to get my name on some cash buyer lists. And
cash buyer lists, man. That's it, man. Because that's how you find out if they're for real. And then when they, you'll see them start posting. And then not only that, a lot of, here's a little secret. A lot of wholesalers, they want to pretend like they have more inventory than they actually have. So they fill it up with like their old deals, but you can still see zip codes. But I want to match it up to current deals to see if they're still buying in those same areas. Because like some stuff's in Tennessee doesn't even make sense anymore. The number, like we're 30, 40,000 and now they're 150,000. It's like, but that's cheap to you, man. Yeah. And by the way, don't ever go on a market because you think it's cheap. You want cheap? I mean, you can go over to like the state of Mississippi, man. You can buy like $15,000 houses all day long, but you can't sell them. That's the problem with them.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
I've owned quite a few of them. Like it just, they'll cash flow, but you'll never be able to sell them. So unless you want to get into that line of business, which is in wholesaling, do not enter a market solely based on price. It's not going to do you well. It's like buying a car solely based on price. You can go get a Yugo. You can get a two-door Hyundai. It'll get you there, but you're going to have problems down the road, man. So I'm just telling you, just keep that in mind.
So I'm researching. I think you said earlier it was average 300,000 ARV.
300,000 or below. 40,000. And then remember, keep in mind, if you're in like Tennessee, say you pick Memphis or Knoxville, find out what the average median price. You can go to Zillow and get that with a click of the button. You can go almost anywhere and get that. Like there's no complicated internet search to get that. And you want to stay at that price, usually slightly below. Why?
People will be more likely to buy.
Correct. You get the largest pool of buyers and you minimize your risk. And that's why you want to do it.
On a side note, because you did mention earlier judicial versus non-judicial, is non-judicial more favorable because there might be more motivation to sell since there's no drawn-out foreclosure process?
Well, you can look at it on both sides of the coin, technically. You're like, well, you know, I go there because there's no more drama and I can get it done quickly. But people are very weird with foreclosure. In my opinion, either people acknowledge the foreclosure in the front and they want to fix it, or they wait till the very end when they're getting the house taken away. So in Florida, if it takes them 8 to 12 months to get the house taken away, or like say in Georgia where it takes them 3 months, and you know, either way, the same thing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Florida, it just takes more, you got to push more buttons to make it happen. So you have a few opportunities. But like once the house is announced, it's going to auction, I'm out. Like it, we have an 80% failure ratio because you usually have to hire a lawyer and it gets expensive. And remember, the lawyer's not representing us. It's representing the seller and they do wild things and they screw it up all the time. I recently had a seller 30 days to auction. I mean, there was a ton of equity in the property. So we went and hired a lawyer and they went to the hearing and she said everything wrong. And I lost $2,000 and she lost the house, everything. I was just like, that's the problem with it. They do wild stuff because you got to understand when you get in front of a judge and you've waited a year and you haven't gone to one court hearing and now suddenly, hey, stop the sale. Judges, they really hate it. So you have to have a sophisticated lawyer. It's $2,000. Anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 to have them come up with an excuse. Now, the good thing is you can pay a lawyer to make up any excuse. They'll do it all day long. But I don't know. I guess you do have a good argument there.
I'm just
the problem in Florida is either you catch them in the beginning or they procrastinate and wait till the sale date. And they're like, okay, I'm ready for you. I'm like, I told you I couldn't help you in the end. Gotcha. And that's the problem. So I don't know. I guess you got a point there. It's you just get a little bit more time to market people, I guess, but it's crazy. After they get their first and second notice, they just ignore it all the way to the end. They think they're going to live there for free. I've met people, I swear to you, I've met people I haven't paid a mortgage in 10 years and they just started to get foreclosed on. They're like, Rick, you can't give me a better deal on what I have now. I go, you know, you got a point.
Yeah.
You got a point. And I say, listen, what if I can negotiate where the bank will pay you to leave, to like, and then, but so here's the downside of like a not a, a judicial state is, sellers will manipulate to stay in the house for free as long as humanly possible, because the cost of living is so high now that that could be an interesting development over the next year or two, especially with the market declining. So I don't know. Either way, I'd have to get some people's point of view on non-judicial states to have that argument, but I'll keep it alive for future view.
Consideration. And then me being in the West Coast, you know, you said Tennessee, but would I want to like, would it make a difference? I guess not since it's virtual, but would I want to like focus on like Seattle, Portland, like at least like some.
You got to go do the research. Although they have some high price points over there, but like once you're virtual, it doesn't matter. Okay. If you go 100 miles or 2,000 miles. So don't let proximity like dictate what you do. California is the number one state where people do virtual. Like they live in California and they do the rest of the United States. I had a gentleman, if you want to go back and replay Friday night, he's in South Africa with very few tools, flipping properties. I want to say in the Virginia area.
Wow.
Very little, like barely gets the English language. And guys, this guy gets it from the other side of the world. So like if he can do it, like you should be able to just knock it out of the park. And I'm just telling you, I got guys from Sweden. I had a lady from Jamaica the other day. I know it seems challenging from California to do that, but like you are in the United States, so you do have an advantage and you should fully take advantage. You should get really excited researching your markets and just go out there and tear one up.
Gotcha.
Pick the right one though, because you got time. Take your time. Take a couple weeks to find it. Don't wait forever. Set a goal. Set a deadline. Go, I'm going to have it by this date. And then just go research everything. I don't care. Listen to other people's lives, get information from you. But when you get on their cash buyers list, they can't really lie anymore. Like they're not going to waste their time marketing a property they don't have control of. Okay?
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good one, man. Stay warm.
Will do.
Okay. See you, man. Okay. Ezekiel, are you there?
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. How you doing?
Good. I just had one question for you. I'm going through all the information now, and I just wanted to know about the formula that you're supposed to use to calculate an offer.
Okay. Have you been over to freewholesaling.com?
I have not.
Okay. So here's one I want to do to be fair about you. Okay. How long you been, are you just starting out in wholesaling now?
Yes.
Okay. So what I want you to do is go over to freewholesaling.com, real simple, register there, they won't charge anything, and just go all the way through it. I go through it in complete detail. And I don't want to tie up like 15 minutes at the end of it. Here's the thing is, I want you guys to understand, a lot of you are hearing this 70% rule. I was taught that in 2003, okay? If you operate under that rule, you're going to get killed in today's market, even in a declining market. So a lot of people, just buy everything 70 cents on the dollar minus repairs and you'll be fine. Like that's like saying, if you buy a Rolls Royce for $10,000, you'll be fine the rest of your life. Of course, you are looking for a unicorn for the most part as a wholesaler doing that. It's just the truth, guys. The biggest problem with 70%. So if I give you 70%, that's a hard number. But what about the ARV? You know what the ARV is?
After repair value.
Correct. That's all like the biggest manipulation of this market. So if you stick hard to 70%, what most people will try to sell you a property, especially another wholesaler, is they just raise the ARV. And before you know it, you're paying 85%. You just don't know it because you don't know what the real value is. So go over there. There is no hard set 70% rule. I walk through the philosophy on like how to get a Lippmann's test on where it's going, because at the end of the day, it's what the buyer will pay for the property. The unfortunate part, in the last 4 years, you could put anything under contract. You could put it 95 cents to the dollar, and you could probably have someone pay you $5,000 or $10,000 over. That was just an anomaly, and it's not going to happen anymore for a while. So I don't want you doing that. So go over to freewholesaling.com. There's an entire section for valuation. Go through it and then come back on here. I'm on 6 days a week and I'm happy to help you out. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. You got it, man. Okay. Romel, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just had a question for you, Rick.
Put a smile on that face, man. Okay. Long day?
Yeah. I'm just sick right now.
Okay. It's okay.
I was going to ask you. I called my clerk of the court office to ask for a probates list, but they told me that they didn't have a specific list, that they just had individual cases, and that I would have to come in person to look at them. But it's a virtual deal, so it's like in North Carolina, and I'm in New Jersey.
And okay, where are you located?
New Jersey.
Okay, so this is where you're going to have to get creative.
Okay.
Okay, so as wholesalers, we have this ability to do things nobody else is like willing to do. I don't want you to get in a car or do anything, but try to cut a deal with someone that will help you get access to the list locally.
Okay.
And try some sort of barter. Like, I'm not trying to get in like your position, but I had to do this for one particular county. I did it with a lawyer. By the way, all lawyers have access to all probates for the most part within the state they reside in, and they practice law.
All right.
It's a little expensive, but that's the only way I could get one of my lists. But see if you can call in a favor, see if you can trade with someone, see if someone go by there once and just help you out, get them a gas card or do something like that and see if someone can help you do it. That's the only challenge with virtual is when you want to get these government lists, they are a real challenge. We don't go and get them physically. They do this on purpose because think about this. If everybody called and emailed and got that list, it wouldn't be very effective at all. Like, it's just the truth. The reason why they want to stop it is they're going to tell you we need privacy, and they'll blame everything on the pandemic, by the way, which has nothing to do with it. And number two, other people are trying to get this information and they sell it nationwide, and it's become a real problem. That's why you do not see any more probate national where you can buy the leads. Do you know they're like $300 a month per county? And by the way, most of the information is 3 months behind.
Okay.
So it's illegal to do that, and they're trying to crack down on that. I guess I don't know if it's illegal. I don't know if that's the right word to say it, but it's ruining it for everyone because they're trying to sell the information back to you and me. So I don't have a great answer for you other than you're going to have to think outside the box and find someone locally to help you out and try to trade something. If you have a skill set, you can trade for them. If you can do them a favor within the bounds of the law, or just send them maybe like a gas card or like a gift card to like Amazon or something like that.
Okay.
See if you can do it that way.
If anyone is watching and is in North Carolina, hit me up.
There you go, guys. So you're going to have to give, well, it's up to you if you want to give a town specifically.
Oh, it's in Cumberland County.
So go in some Facebook groups, go and post and see, listen, I just need some help. Cut them in on a deal, maybe give them a little bit, $20 for a gas card or something like that. Okay. And just find someone willing to take a risk and help you out with it.
All right. Thanks, man. That's all
okay,
I man.
Have. You got it. Okay. So guys, let me go to the comments online here. I did make it out of San Fran. San Fran's cold, man, there. It's crazy, man. Okay. So let me pull this up here. So it says, been cold calling for 2 months, no deal yet, but I've gotten three leads and I was serious. One was serious, but she needs time to think about it. The time killer. She said she wants to go with me when she's ready, but I don't want to let her slip away. So the only thing you can do is stay in constant contact without driving them nuts and find out what it is that's going to push her over the top to make her decision. So a lot of times you say, well, I'm waiting for my daughter to get the house ready in North Carolina before I leave. And then I'll say, listen, when do you plan on doing that? And then I'm looking. So right now we're in September, the end of September. So we're getting ready to wrap up 2022. I would start saying, listen, is the goal to get it done this year? And remember, okay, you're not moving into the house. So if you're not moving into the house, you can potentially enter into a contract with them now. And then in the special addendum says, once the seller is ready to execute, I have a 7-day right of inspection to decide to move on with the contract. So try to lock the property up under contract now and give them plenty of time. So what if you wrote a contract now and gave them till January 1st or even January 30th? Find out what date makes her comfortable and just give it to her. And then that's a seed you can come back and reap in the future. Remember, you're not moving into the property, and it's one of the best ways to take it down, in my opinion, because she gets it set in stone. And also, I would tell her, prices are dropping. So I think it's an incentive for her to get moving. But and remember, if she waited 6 months, say she waited 6 months, you still have the right to go back and look at the property. If the market is completely different, you can easily renegotiate. It won't be a problem. I'm telling you, I do that stuff all the time. So guys, do me a favor. If you're new to my channel, make sure you hit that like button for me. Make sure you hit that subscribe button at Rick Ginn. Visit my son's channel, Zach Ginn, and we are on every... Zach will be on tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and back Monday. Guys, 6 days a week. You know how to get us. I absolutely love wholesaling. I want you guys to be successful at wholesaling. There's no reason why you guys have to go through all this crazy stuff to get started in wholesaling. Just go over to freewholesaling.com. We'll show you how to get it done. And guys, I appreciate you, and I will see you tomorrow. Have a good one.
Hey guys, Zach Ginn here from Flip with Rick. And after helping tens of thousands of people get started in wholesaling real estate and helping so many people out go from $0 to $100,000 in wholesaling real estate, I'm super excited to announce my new wholesaling mastery course. This wholesaling mastery course will have everything step by step on the whole entire wholesaling processes. I'm going to give you real deal examples. I'm going to hold your hand throughout the whole wholesaling process. This course will give you everything you need to know to make up to $100,000 to over $1 million per year in wholesaling real estate profits. Most real estate gurus out there will charge you around $5,000 for a course like this. But today, if you click on the link, you will get my wholesaling mastery course for the low price of...
Sellout.
What?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I knew you would do this. I knew you were going to go the course route with the guru. It goes against everything we've preached from day one. Don't be a sellout.
The course is free.
What?
The course is free. I'm giving it for free.
Oh, I apologize. Carry on.
Jeez, okay. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, duh. Do you think I'm going to go sell out as like a regular guru selling you a course? I'm not trying to make money off of you guys. Guys, over here, all you got to do is click there to just sign up. No gimmicks, nothing. Absolutely for free. It's a free wholesaling course. Literally, I've seen every single wholesaling course. I have access to all the 10,000 mentorships. Guys, I've literally copied them step by step. I literally have an entire course set out just for you for wholesaling real estate. Click on that and let's get started.